I do not think.
So what are you getting at?
Guy, blah, blah.
Do you even listen to yourself when you talk?
Hey, we're live! Woohoo!
Turn off your radio before it's too late!
Hated it.
I told you this was a bad idea.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I baseball, football, whatever. But I also remember Johnny Unitas and the Colts, how they didn't respect the Jets.
So look, Ron, I don't respect the Jaguars. Do you think the Patriots players themselves and the coaches are going to overlook the Jaguars?
Well, I hope not. I mean, I'm an old Giants fan, back to Charlie Connolly. But what I'm saying, trying to tell you guys, what Mommy tells you, you've got to have some respect for these guys.
Okay, so I understand that the Patriots do. The players and the coaches can't overlook that team. I'm allowed to do whatever I want.
Yeah, it's not our job to take the Jaguars seriously.
I'm not taking it one game at a time, and I'm not respecting the opponent. That's not right. It's not in my job description. I'm selling windows and pillows, man. That's my job. And to do what I want, and to, give him my opinion. It's their job to take the opponent seriously, which they do better than any team I've ever seen in my life, man.
Won't be an issue.
They're not going to overlook the Jaguars.
No, I have a hard time believing they will. Belichick won't let them. I think they even could overlook him a little bit.
Well, I mean, human nature, they might. I mean, but not like, not like we see on the scale of the Steelers or something like that.
I told you, to me, the biggest question in this game is, how's Jacksonville going to score with Blake Bortles at quarterback? Because the Patriots are going to take the run away, then what?
Yeah, that's the whole game.
So how are they going to score? Someone needs to tell me how Blake Bortles is going to generate enough points to beat Tom Brady.
Murray?
They're going to have to be able to run the ball, and they're going to have to do play action.
How does Jacksonville get in the 20s?
With turnovers. It's going to rest on their defense.
They're going to need one of these Brady turnovers like the Jets early in the Giants Super Bowls.
Early in the Denver AFC title
yes,
game.
They're going to need at least one of those.
Yep, for sure. And then maybe if, can their offense score 17 on their own? I don't know. I don't know if they can score 17 on their own.
I'm telling you, I told you, I think this game is going to be like 27-10.
Here's Tony in Worcester. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys, just a couple quick questions. You think the Patriots are going to go with a hurry-up offense, which I think must be effective? And one key thing, where's Malcolm Mitchell? I know they can take him off on Wednesday. What if somebody gets hurt? Who are you going to throw to? Britt? Cooks?
So I think their receivers are going to get wiped out because the corners in Jacksonville are good. And they can play man coverage, and so, fine, they're going to lock down on your receivers. What about your tight ends and running backs? And your quarterback? Who's just going to figure it out? He's going to find where they're soft and then pick.
Right, it's going to be Gronk, Amendola, and the running backs.
Absolutely.
That's what the whole game is going to be.
Yes.
I mean, would it be nice? It would be nice to have Malcolm Mitchell in this game against these physical corners, because you need those big body, long armed, like we saw in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. He was money on those, back shoulder comebacks, all that stuff. And it's just something that Cooks just can't do. I mean, that's not his physical game. And so, for their sake, I hope he comes off, but, if somebody gets hurt, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they would trust Britt enough. I think Dorsett would at least have enough of the playbook to be able to be put in there.
Irrelevant.
John in Indy. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. I haven't talked to you guys in ages. I got something for Murray that's going to surprise him. If you look at the analytics of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New England Patriots, as far as points allowed, New England only allowed 28 points less than Jacksonville. As far as points for, New England outscored Jacksonville by 41 points during the season. What's going to happen is those two figures are going to come into play. So I agree with all you guys. It's going to come down to whoever plays the cleanest game and whoever is going to be the hero for the Patriots. It's going to be a tough game, but I still think the Patriots kicked their butts.
wait a minute.
Tough game, but they're going to kick their ass.
Okay.
Huh? Can't be both.
No, no point there. You just wasted a minute of our time. Chad in New Hampshire.
Minute of my life.
Go ahead, Chad. What do you got?
Yeah, Murray, listen, I understand your concerns with the defense and overlooking this team. You don't want to do it. But I just think that with Boye and Ramsey on the corners, yeah, they're going to shut down the outside. But I agree. Like, how are you going to cover Gronk? Even if you put Ramsey on, it's going to open something else up. And the backs of the backfield, I just don't see them shutting down this offense. It may take a quarter to kind of feel them out, like the Titans game, but, I mean, they'll fill it out eventually, and you're going to start seeing dump-offs the running backs, especially when Burkhead's back from...
his injury. The Jaguars are the Titans. The Jaguars are are the Titans.
Yeah, I have to believe it's going to be about the backs.
The
and
Jaguars,
Gronk.
No, they lost to the Titans twice. They were 0-2 against a team you just wiped the floor with.
Yeah, that but you know division that was abominable.
It was
horrible.
But you know that doesn't
no
work.
Luck, well, no Luck, no Watson.
It doesn't work if it's just one game to one game, but twice? Jacksonville lost to the Tennessee Titans twice. Which tells me that Tennessee might be better. If they're not better, they're in the same milieu. You know, Murray, they're the same type of team.
I know. Milieu. Shame on me for actually... big word.
Shame on you, Murray.
Yes, shame
on me talking for talking French to me. Shame on you.
I shouldn't enjoy this at all. You know, the hell with it. This is the least exciting of the Patriots' playoff runs ever.
It is. I mean, believe me, I'd still rather talk about this than, I don't know, the symphony or something. We're going to talk about it, but admit it. I mean, this is...
I don't know, what about the year with the Texans and the Colts.
This is dog food.
Oh, no, that was way better than this.
And, I mean, I wouldn't say way better. At least there's...
I would.
Wasn't it like 42-something championship
game? Well, no, I'm sorry, Maz. It was better than this. It was better than this. You don't get worse than this.
No, this is as bad as it gets. Seriously. I think I might take a nap during the middle of the AFC Championship game and fart a little during the game.
I mean, that run, at least there was Andrew Luck there.
Of course!
And the prospect of a shootout. A prospect of... a 38-34 kind of game, and just at least the prospect of it, so you could fill the hours.
No team's going to come in here and win a shootout. Those games I wasn't worried about. A rock fight, like I think you're going to get on Sunday, those are concerning to me because of how good the defense is.
Blake.
The Ravens game was in the divisional round, so Bortles. That was a good playoffs. Then it was 45-7.
Bortles. Good God. Blake freaking Bortles. No shot.
Paul and Canton, go.
Hey, I got a question off the wall here. On the Saints and Minnesota game, when the Saints were going to kick the field goal, they call a timeout. Why didn't they let the clock run down to, like, 2 seconds and not leave any time on the clock before they kicked the field goal?
The Saints didn't call that field goal. I mean, the Saints didn't call that timeout. The Vikings called it.
Yep.
The Saints wasted 2 timeouts on challenges and then saved their last timeout before the play that won the game, which, again, makes me wonder, what was said during the timeout where you give up a 61-yard pass play with no timeouts on the opponent, needing only to tackle the guy in bounds? That's only, there's one defensive call, tackle him in bounds. So they call a timeout to get that straight and then give up a 61-yard touchdown with no time on the clock.
Maybe they told the secondary, listen, we got to avoid pass interference, so don't touch him. Don't touch him.
Yeah.
And the guy took it literally. Like, he literally ran right by him and let Stephon Diggs go down the sideline.
Do you have a tense?
Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. No.
Give me a thought. Who do you blame most for that?
I blame the player, but I just think about if that was the Patriots, you would have had coaches telling those players exactly what to do.
Exactly.
They would have been like, okay, let them catch it in front of you. Don't go on the ground. Don't dive. That's the last thing we want. Just hold them up. Let somebody else come and finish them off. The Patriots would have told him that.
Whatever the most obvious thing to do was, they would tell it. They would just,
yes.
Again, they would reinforce it. Now, just remember, they have no timeouts. All you have to do is protect the goal line, and if you can keep them in bounds, great, but you can't give up anything behind you, period. That's all he would have said. And the Saints can't do it, which, again, speaks to the problem with the league.
I don't have a problem, though. I don't have a huge problem with their defensive linemen on that play because they still have to guard the out-of-bounds because... You know,
he was in field goal range if he stepped out right there.
Yeah, if he stepped out right there, it's like a 48, 49-yard field goal. So they still, I know Florio at Pro Football Talk's been writing about this, but I disagree. I mean, could they have moved down a little bit as far as the cornerbacks, a little deeper? Yeah, but they still needed to play the out of bounds.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. No one says it like they do, like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bitch.
Yes, we are, Jalen Ramsey. Very good.
Because here I am on the road again.
It's Bill Belichick invoking Bob Seger.
And there I am. Up on the stage.
Excellent.
No, Sean, what do we do then?
That's
wrong. I'm not really sure.
That's Max impersonating me, he said.
Good and you?
Good and you?
I think that speaks for itself.
Well, I tell you this about Brady. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard, Mike.
That's Zoe impersonating Maz. Pick anyone. Jimmy, they're all solid.
Good and you?
Good and you?
Number 10, with McDaniels and Patricia on the way out, I ask you, panel, who's the best assistant coach or your favorite assistant coach Bill Belichick has had in his 18 years here back in New England?
Hands down, Dante Scarnecchia.
Ooh, good one.
He's terrific. I've spent a lot of time with him, probably when he thought he was going to stay retired, but I've seen him do offensive line coaching clinics and all sorts of stuff. He's just an awesome guy, and he's a great coach.
You would pick the offensive line
coach, right,
now that I think.
Well, that was my choice too, Scar.
It was?
Yeah.
I went Romeo Crennel. I like, you know, to me, Crennel was a sort of just understated, like, likable guy, good coach, all of it.
Number two on my list. Capable, fit perfectly with the system, good coach, decent man. Like, just, I like, Rack was awesome.
No, Sean, what did we do there? I'm not really sure.
Number 9, sorry. What's the worst defensive play you've ever seen in an NFL playoff game?
That one on Sunday. I can't think of another one that rivals it.
I can.
All right.
Raheem Moore?
Yep, Raheem Moore. Absolutely.
That was the only one that came to mind. But, you know, and everybody's like, this one was worse. I don't think it was. I think that one was just as bad. It didn't look as bad because Raheem Moore was such a circus and it spun around like a top that the play got behind him.
Asante Samuel, Super Bowl 42. Make the interception. Just close the game out, man. Just make the pick.
There were a couple there. Ellis Hobbs in the end zone. Asante Samuel with the pick right in his hands. But was it Pierre Woods, or who had the chance to jump on the fumble in that game?
Pierre Woods. It was Pierre Woods.
So there were like three or four from that game. Very good, Murray. See, the Coughlin thing runs deep with him.
Still traumatized.
There you go, Murray.
We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that bitch.
Number eight. Huh?
It's Duval County.
Duval. He yelled Duval after that.
I don't care. I never understood what that means.
Duval County. Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. All right. Number 8. This is the 14th AFC title game in Patriots history, including the two before Belichick. 14th in Patriots history. What has been your favorite to this point?
Well, I'll say this was not a happy moment for me, but I was there at the 1985 AFC Championship game at the Orange Bowl, the Squish the Fish.
Squish the Fish,
man.
See,
that's what I got.
Little Dolphins fan. I was not happy, but I will say it was cool to see my parents and my brothers all excited as Patriots fans, and to hear that Squish the Fish coming out of the tunnels there at the Orange Bowl, it was pretty cool. It was a great game. It was a great night.
I mean, that's what I picked, you know, and I hate to get nostalgic about it because it was so long ago now, but that one, that was like, you know, they went down there and just steamrolled the Dolphins.
They did.
2001.
Yeah, the Steelers game.
At Pittsburgh, they had lined the streets for the parade. They had packed their bags. Typical Steelers, Cordell Stewart running their yappers, yap, 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 and you go in there and punch them right in the mouth. Troy Brown's punt return, Troy Brown's scoop and score on the block field goal. Bledsoe comes in for Brady, throws a touchdown pass. Balls. That was a ballsy afternoon.
Was Mike Mularkey the offensive coordinator for the Steelers?
Was he?
I think he was.
He might have been.
He was the one who invented Slash.
Makes perfect sense.
And there I am. Up on the stage.
Number 7. Give me who the top 5 teams in the league should be. Not are. I don't want your power rankings of who the current top 5. I want, if everyone just wasn't stupid and anemic and incompetent, who would be and should be the top 5 teams in the league?
Patriots, Eagles, Steelers, Packers, Seahawks.
So I had the same 5, except instead of the Seahawks, I had the Falcons. The Falcons have a boatload of talent. Boatload of talent, but I had the same group.
This is why I don't have the Packers on that list. Are they one of the 5 most talented teams in the league?
Yeah, but the quarterback makes all the
difference. If Rodgers was there, yeah, maybe.
No. I mean, he's maybe the best quarterback, but that team? Please, stop. No.
Well, what was yours?
I ask the questions. I don't answer them, Murray. Next.
Well, I tell you this about Brady. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard, Mike.
Number 6.
He asks the questions and criticizes your answers.
Exactly right. That's my role here in this segment. Who would be a good coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers? You keep hearing reports that some of the investors in Pittsburgh want Tomlin out. Who should come in? And when I say that, and Hardy, kiss my ass. When I say this, I mean, like, who fits the mold of a Pittsburgh Steelers kind of coach? Who would and would actually be capable on top of it? Give me a good name.
Mike McCarthy. He's from Pittsburgh. And born and raised there.
And he sucks. That would be a perfect Steelers coach.
Loves that running game.
Yeah. You're good. That's
what running game?
That's a good one. Oh, he loves the handoff.
No, what? He loves to talk about handing off.
Oh, he's established the run. We got to establish the run.
They don't do that.
Yeah, they do. They
so wait, do I have to pick someone who sucks?
They don't establish it, but they try to. Go ahead.
I have to pick someone who sucks? Is that part of the...
No, you can answer whoever you want.
I went Mike Zimmer. I think Zimmer would be good in Pittsburgh. He's a defensive coach. He believes in sort of the physical part of football, and at the same time, I think he's got a clue.
If you want a true candidate, they love to get young, unknown people. And I couldn't come up with one, so I went with a Pittsburgh native.
Well, How about McDermott from Buffalo?
No, he's not young enough.
I was going to tell you, Mike Vrabel.
That's a good one.
They don't want brainy coordinators. It's like, you know, they go from Tomlin to Cowher.
Does he look cool?
I'm sorry, Cowher to Tomlin. And it's like, does he look cool? Is he in your face? And like, it's almost they want positional guys versus coordinator
types.
Vrabel. And Vrabel would be a guy.
Yep.
Good one. I don't know, Sean. What do we do there?
That's wrong.
I'm not really sure.
Number 5, tool bag of the week question. Biggest tool bag Jaguar of all time?
Justin Blackmon. The guy was like a top 5 draft pick. Good drugs, one. Everything. He was just a bad dude.
Mark Brunell. Seriously, I was talking about this with Murray. I was drawing a blank earlier, and Murray gave me Mark Brunell. So good one, Murray. Cry on the radio, you big baby, you wuss bag.
Because here I am on the road again.
Number 4, what was the most disappointing team in the NFL in 2017?
Bucks. I thought they were capable of a lot more, but that division turned out to be pretty good.
Giants.
Yeah, it's the Giants.
Giants, 2 wins. 2 for the Giants with all those players? Oh, that's an embarrassment. The Giants were.
Broncos are on my list. Raiders are on my list. Colts are on my list. Cowboys. Can one AFC team just keep it together? I'm just, you know, a little more worried in this conference. Can one team figure it out for the love of God?
We're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win that bitch.
Number 3, who was the most disappointing player in the league?
Derek Carr.
Good one.
He just got in the... I mean, even watching the film against the Patriots and leading into that game, he's throwing off his back foot all over the place. Like, you know, I'm glad he's got... Hopefully, Gruden can straighten out because the kid has a boatload of talent.
I went Matt Ryan. I thought the Falcons were huge. Just, you know, after coming off the year he came off, MVP of the league. So they changed coordinators, and he sucked for the first half of the season.
Well, I'm ultimately with Greg. Let me give you a local one. Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler might have been the most disappointing player this year.
Attaboy, Murray.
On the list. Very good. Next.
Good and you.
Number 2, bonus tool bag question. Who was the biggest tool bag in the league in 2017?
No question. Jerry Jones.
That was mine.
I mean, just for everything. The Goodell stuff, the Trump stuff, the kneeling stuff, everything. Ezekiel Elliott.
What a crybaby tool bag that guy was this year.
Murray, you got one?
No, it's Jerry Jones.
Oh, I went Mike Tomlin. To me, all of it.
You finished strong.
Oh, God, you big dope. You are a tool. You do that interview with Dungy, and this is the first one. You go set up the second one. And then you go out and get your ass kicked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. You clown.
And there I am. Up on the stage.
Number 1, and finally... we could be looking at a Nick Foles, Blake Bortles Super Bowl matchup. I say could. It's just a possibility. So that leads to this question. In your lifetime, who was the worst quarterback to ever play in a Super Bowl?
Rex Grossman.
Oh, good one. Oh, I wish I thought
wasn't
I am.
Peyton's first Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He won it against Rex Grossman. Good
oh,
job,
I forgot
Peyton.
About
good
him.
Job.
Very good. I went Vince Ferragamo. The Rams played the Steelers in the 70s.
I liked Vince Ferragamo.
What was that movie?
He sucked.
The Rams.
What?
Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven can wait.
Vince Ferrer, he blew. He was terrible. They were respectable in the game, but he sucked.
Grossman was even spotted 7 points in that game.
Yes.
Well, let me give a few more. And one of these guys even won it. Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, yes. Dilfer versus Kerry Collins.
Joe Capp.
Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins is also in consideration.
Joe Capp. Minnesota.
Yep.
You're going way back.
David Woodley.
Woodley's another one. Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yes.
That one crossed my mind, too. Yeah.
Felger and Maz. This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Maz.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, Coughlin's the GM, VP, whatever. He's not the coach. No matter how much his input is there, like, we still have to deal with Marone, and he's just a PUD with a decent defense. I mean, even Coughlin's Giants, they haven't beat...
That's going to be the name of my band, by the way.
Pud with a decent defense?
Pud with a decent defense. I'm sorry, Seth. Continue.
No. He's, I mean, 2011 is the last time they beat us. Like, oh, no.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. You're right.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's 5-2. So, all right. So, listen, though. In terms of preparation, motivation, attention to detail, he's Bill's mirror image.
Right, but he's also 1,000 years old and is not the coach. Like, you can be preparation all you want, and then during the game, you still have to deal with Doug Bleepin' Marrone. Like, you're scared of Doug Marrone?
During the game,
no. I'm scared
with Tom Coughlin 50 stories up in the box.
You don't think his fingerprints are on this team, just in terms of the moves that they made this offseason, I mean, and bringing in Calais Campbell?
He got good players in, but in this, like, you can't ignore the fact that he's not the one making the calls.
During the game, Seth, I think you're absolutely right. So help with the game plan during the week? Of course. Coughlin goes downstairs, sits in the meetings. Look, you should do this. You should look at this. We did this. That had success. Blah, blah, blah.
That old buzzard is in there. You know he is.
But Murray, now we're in the middle of the second quarter, and you're down 17-3, and you've run out of all your game plan stuff, and now it's time to adjust to what the Patriots are doing.
Yeah, he turns around to his old man Cauldron, and he throws in some magic spell, and he stirs it all up.
Well, no. Is Coughlin on headset?
No. Now I know that he's not. He's not. I get it. It's Marrone. It's ultimately up to Marrone. But the Coughlin factor, I'm sorry. It wigs me out. I
don't dismiss Coughlin. I'm not telling you he's going to win the game for him. But to me, the big thing there is Coughlin knows Bill. He knows how Bill thinks. He knows how Bill operates. If there's anyone who's going to be able to predict what the Patriots are going to do before any ball is snapped, Coughlin's as good at it as anybody.
Matt in Rhode Island, go ahead, please.
Yo, so you guys hit the nail right on the head, I think. I think this is the most cut and dry AFC championship Tom's ever seen in terms of, you know, they're going to make Bortles beat him, and I think it's personally going to be a bloodbath. But back to McDaniels, at what point do you think that he just sits back and analyzes whether he really wants to be a head coach? Because, like you said, in Denver and St. Louis, these guys didn't respect him trying to be, you know, the Bill Belichick mind game kind of guy. So what kind of...
If he doesn't want to be a head coach, then I'm sorry. I think he's stupid, or I have no respect for him. You know, like, I don't respect his balls, like, and I don't feel if he wants to be a head coach. I mean, there's no long-term risk of being a head coach and failing again. If you prove yourself just to be a coordinator, then you'll be a coordinator, which is what you are right now. And you'll always be gainfully employed. He's a good coordinator, and he'll find work, and he'll just go back to being, if he fails again as a head coach, then we'll know water has reached its level, and he's just a coordinator. So, what's to lose? You just try and pick the best spot you possibly can. And I think Andrew Luck in that division isn't bad. And apparently he loves the GM there, and so, you know, maybe that's the spot.
Yeah, I think he has a good relationship with Chris Ballard, the GM there. And, you know, it's as good a spot as any. And it's, you know, the Colts they're a very weird organization. It's like some of these smaller markets where it's almost like a college team where the whole state is, you know, rah-rah and they're all for it. It's very Happy Valley-ish. I think it's a good spot for a guy with a young family like Josh.
Here's Paul in Cheshire. Go ahead, Paul. What do you got? Paul! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Lezak in Framingham. Hi, Lezak.
Hey, I just wanted to call to let Big Jim know not to worry. Let's start with the fact that Brady's not going to lose to Blake Bortles at home in the AFC Championship game. Then if you look at the quarterbacks that the Jags have lost to, they lost to Mariota twice, Josh McCown, Jared Goff, Blaine Gabbert, and Jimmy G. Then, looking into the numbers a little bit more, just because I looked over the Jags schedule real quick, and it looked a little fraudulent. If you take out that they played the Texans twice with no Watson, the Ravens in London when they were terrible, the Colts twice, the Browns, and the Bengals, average out the rest of the numbers, and they've given up 24.3 points per game.
Lezak, I'm just strength of schedule does matter?
I think it does. Generally.
Okay, I'm checking because I talked a lot about strength of schedule last year, and I half the city cried, literally was bawling over the fact I was telling you the Patriots had a nothing strength of schedule, and it should be a factor. So I just want to know whether I'm allowed to, whether strength of schedule is a legit consideration or not. Like, is it? So it is. So I can look at Jacksonville and see that they played in that horrible division against those wretched quarterbacks, and use it to say the Pats are going to win. I can do that, right?
Of course.
Okay, I'm just curious. Just tell me, Boston, does strength of schedule matter or not? That's just, I need to know that. Here's one bit of analysis that I'm getting a little sick of because I think it misses the mark. Tom Brady's never losing to Blake Bortles. Tom Brady lost to Mark Sanchez in a playoff game. Tom Brady lost to Joe Flacco twice. Tom Brady lost to Peyton Manning his last year when he could barely throw the football. Tom Brady lost to, was it Brian Greasy? Who was the Broncos quarterback in 05?
No, it was Plummer.
Jake
was
Plummer.
It? Yeah, it was Jake Plummer.
Tom Brady lost to Jake Plummer. So I don't want to hear this. Like, Brady can lose to a bad quarterback. The question is, can the Patriots defense lose to that quarterback? Can the Patriots offense be stymied to the point where they could only give up 21 and still lose? That's the question. It's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady's lost to a lot of bad quarterbacks in the playoffs. So I just think that misses the mark on that one. But strength of schedule is okay to talk. I just want to check that. Dave in Naples, Florida. Go ahead, David.
How you doing? I don't think that Jacksonville is going to be that easy. I just think that they can, Bortles will throw the ball and dump it off, and they'll get some yardage. Patriots, you know, they're not playing Chelsea High or Revere High. Jacksonville stepped up. I know they had a terrible year, but when they played Pittsburgh twice, they stepped up to it. I think the Patriots will win, but I don't think it's going to be that easy, especially in the first, you know, say two and a half quarters.
Okay, see, I do feel they're playing Chelsea High.
Oh, I don't. I think it's more like Brockton.
I think that's exactly the kind. They're playing like a high school offense, Punch and Judy sort of high school team mentality. That's exactly who I think they're facing.
Yeah, and the whole, well, they beat the Steelers twice thing. You know why that happened? Because the Steelers overlooked them twice. The Patriots will not do that. They have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. They'll be ready. Unlike Mike Tomlin's Steelers, twice.
I just don't see how Jacksonville's going to generate any sort of consistent offense in this game. I'm sorry to keep harping on that one thing. I just don't see where the offense is going to come from. Who are they going to throw the ball to?
Are we changing your mind at all there, Murray?
No, I think it's going to be a game. It's going to be a rock fight. It is. I will be shocked if this is like Indy a few years ago where the game was
won't
over
be
in like the first quarter.
No, it won't be that.
I mean, look, the thing I'll give Jacksonville credit for is I think they're physical. They're tough and they're physical. No two ways about it. And so.
And they're playing with some swag. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, teams that have to, you know, win in the wild card round and all that stuff.
Battle
they get
tested.
On a little bit of roll. We've seen it with the Ravens. So they'll come in with some swag and they're physical and they're fast on defense. And the Patriots haven't seen that in a while, so they'll have some trouble adjusting. Might not happen until the second half, but at some point the Patriots will put on the afterburners.
The quarterback's a bum. He sucks.
Again, though, you've lost to bums at that position.
No, I know, but I'm just telling you, I don't think that they can generate the points. I don't. I don't see it. Like, at least in some of the other occasions, I'd say, all right, well, you know, say what you want about Sanchez. He had, you know, at that stage of his career, it had a couple of half-decent games, and I thought the Patriots' defense in some of those years really sucked.
And you say it with such disappointment in your voice because you want to have a game.
Okay, but this gets to...
And frankly, I hope you're right. I hope it is a blowout. I hope I can breathe a couple of minutes in.
But my tone, Murray, as usual, speaks to something else, which I'm sure we're going to be discussing in about 15 minutes.
Yes, we'll talk about this later, about what you want.
One thing about Sanchez is like... You know, yes, he was at the end, he was Mark Sanchez. But when he beat the Patriots, he had gone to the AFC Championship game the year before.
Thank you.
I mean, he had won playoff games. He had won in Indy. I mean, Blake Bortles is one at Pittsburgh. You know, okay.
It was good. Never sacked, no turnovers. Pretty good on third down.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I ain't got too much to say, but y'all make sure y'all bring that same energy out here next week and the week after. We going to the Super Bowl and we going to win that bitch. We going to win that bitch. Duval!
Bernard, I heard you earlier. You said that the chances of Jacksonville not turning the ball over are like virtually none, right? That's what you're predicating the Patriots winning on?
What did I say?
About the Jacksonville.
Who's not
Jaguars.
Turning it over?
You said the possibility of the Jaguars not turning the ball over.
No, I was talking about...
Virtually none. And you're basing the Patriots' victory on that. Why would you go to turnovers to pick the Patriots? I mean, if both teams play a clean game, right? If both teams play a clean game, it's going to come down to one defense matching the stop of the other one. And this notion that it's all about the quarterback. Last I checked, football is still it's still a team sport. Do you not agree with that?
Yeah, but it's...
I think my point was the only way the Jaguars win the game is if the Patriots turn the ball over.
No, you said if the Jacksonville Jaguars turn the ball over.
No, that's not what he meant.
No.
Just
okay,
well,
I mean, maybe that's...
Okay. The bottom line is this. I just love how now we're all evaluating football and the games and the teams based on one person, i.e. the quarterback. It's a team sport. I put a goalie ahead of the quarterback in hockey. He's the last line of defense.
It's kind of important, Dan. The quarterback's kind of important, man.
But you're equating it to almost like a pitcher's duel.
Well, so but look, Danny, the point, and I've mentioned this a couple times today. I do agree with the analysis of saying Blake Bortles is not going to beat Tom Brady. Misses the mark.
Because it's a stupid way to look at it.
I agree. Mark Sanchez beat Tom Brady. Joe Flacco beat Tom Brady. So it's the defense. Does the Jaguars' defense have the ability to turn the Patriots over or hold them in the low 20s?
If they push the pocket up the middle and they bog down Brady, suddenly it all you know what football, the Patriots become a team sport, is when the Patriots play badly, Brady plays badly, and the team loses. Then all of a sudden, it's everybody else's fault around it. When the team wins, it's all him.
Okay, but this is a different story.
Well, that is the same story, though. You're evaluating the teams based on, I see the four quarterbacks put up. Every show I watch, every time I listen to a show on football, whether it's the NFL Network or you, they put up the four individual quarterbacks like they're the end-all, be-all. It's a team sport.
Okay, but not when it comes to the Jaguars versus the Patriots offense. It's about limiting Tom Brady. What are you, nuts? What are you going to focus in on? Dwayne Allen, is he even still on the team? Like, what are you talking about, Danny? It starts with disrupting Tom Brady. Am I stupid? It starts with that. Or disrupting his receivers or disrupting the passing game. That's what you're talking about.
And as far as the Jaguars offense, okay, what's job one that Belichick's going to do?
Stop Fournette.
Are they going to do that?
Easily.
Fournette's, then what happens?
Then you put the game in Bortles' hands.
Then Bortles has to beat you from the pocket.
And he's not good enough.
No. And he doesn't. It's not like he has. It's not like Santonio Holmes is out there, you know. Some or Anquan Boldin, like that. Some of these nails receivers that these teams have knocked off the Patriots have had. You know, he's got Allen Hurns. He's got Marquise Lee. And
no, it's going to take turnovers. Can the Jaguars get it? Is the Jaguars defense good enough? And I don't know. I mean, I know the individual names. I haven't watched a ton of Jaguars football, but I can't get over the fact they just gave up 42. And they gave up 44 to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like I can't, you know, the Ravens and the Jets and those great defensive teams of those years weren't doing that. The Ravens didn't come in here just having giving up 42 points the week before. So I feel like the Jaguars' defense is overrated.
See, Greg, you got to explain it step by step to Danny. Like you have to say, well, Danny, they're going to stop Fournette, which is going to put the game in Bortles' hands, and then can Bortles beat the Patriots? Like you got to take them step by step. Because you can't just say Bortles isn't good enough because they don't get it.
Let me ask you this, Greg.
Bortles isn't good enough.
Let me ask you this, Greg. And I think they'll stop Fournette, too. I think any NFL team can stop any NFL running game if they commit to it. Because it's the pros. This isn't college. Everyone's fast enough. Everyone's big enough. If you just dedicate yourself to stopping the run, you will stop the run. Unless you are so incredibly stupid that you just can't figure that out. But anyone with half a brain can stop the run, which is why the running back, Murray, is useless. I'm sorry. But that being said, Jacksonville O-line versus the Patriots D-line. Who gets a check mark?
Jacksonville. Wait, say this again.
Jacksonville O-line versus the Patriots D-line. Which is better?
D-line. Patriots.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I say Jacksonville there.
Okay, so I thought you were going to go Jacksonville O-line.
No, I don't think the Jacksonville offensive line is that good.
You don't?
At all.
They manhandled Pittsburgh last week.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cam Hayward had the elbow injury. It's just, whatever it was, the Jaguars aren't as good as they showed against the Steelers up front. The Patriots should be competitive there. It should be about even.
Okay. So there you go. Well, I was trying to build a case for Jacksonville. I was trying to build a case for Murray there that if, you know, Jacksonville controls the trenches on both sides, I mean, they might. So let's say that that's a wash on the other side. Jaguars D-line versus your O-line is clearly Jacksonville.
Yes.
Clearly, right? I mean, it has to be. Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell and those guys,
yep.
Got to be. So,
I mean, if the Patriots were going to get manhandled by an offensive line, it would have been the Titans.
You're generally
and they killed them up front.
You're generally a trenches guy, but you're telling me that the Jaguars' O-line is not all that?
Certainly not up to the Titans.
Titans had a much better offensive line.
Yep.
And what did this...
Conklin getting hurt kind of messed things up. But that
Henry,
was like,
what's his name? I purposely don't remember running
back. Derrick Henry.
Yeah, what did he do? What was his final output there, Murray?
28 yards.
Okay, that 28 yards is my Lawrence Fournette over-under for the game, and I'm taking the under.
Leonard.
Whatever. He'll have under 28 yards. The running back. Here's Colin in Boston. Hi, Colin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I don't know if you guys saw the passing stats for the Steelers against the Jags, but obviously Antonio Brown was their number one guy because he was just catching every fourth down effing bomb that they could throw out to him. But Vance McDonald, who sucks, was number two as their tight end. He had 10 catches for over 100 yards. So I don't know how they're going to stop Gronk. And frankly, if you watch the game, Vance could have had more, but he had so many balls just go through his hands. So, I mean, everyone's talking about how people, you know, the Jags can match up on Gronk and have the linebackers who can stop him, but they can't even stop this guy. I don't know what they're going to do against Gronk.
Maz, Bedard, any thoughts?
It's a problem. Again, I looked it up, and again, I'm using the Football Outsiders. They were 20th against tight ends. This is why, if I were them, if your two best cover guys, and maybe your two best defensive players, are Ramsey and Bouye, how big's Bouye? He's not that big, right? Ramsey's bigger?
Yeah, Ramsey's bigger.
I put Ramsey on Gronk. I would. Try that.
I mean, look, Miles Jack, their linebacker, is a dynamite athlete. I don't think between Gibson and Church, the safeties, I just don't think they're that good up the middle. I think that's where they're weak. And, you know, you want to put Ramsey on Gronk? I don't know. I mean, then they'll just bring him into the line and then they'll run the ball. You know, or they'll flex him out one-on-one and, you know, throw there.
If I were Jacksonville, I'd want the Patriots to run the ball.
I'd do Miles Jack under with a safety over. That's been the most effective technique as far as keeping Brady away from Gronk all the time. I mean, he'll still go to him when he needs him, but just that appearance of a safety over the top, it'll make Brady pause until he really needs a play.
Give me 30 seconds on Eagles-Vikings.
Well, I mean, look, it's almost the same thing as in the other conference. I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, you know, what are you going to get out of him? You know? I mean, that's a really good Eagles defense. I like Case Keenum, but he's prone to make big mistakes.
Or is he reckless? Keenum's problem is he thinks he's better than he is. So he tries to make these plays. It's like, dude, you're not Brett Favre. You don't get stupid like him.
But, I mean, that two great defenses. I mean, I think we're looking at a teens game probably there in the NFC Championship.
Who do you like?
I like the Vikings just because I think they're the more complete team, you know. But I think that the Eagles at home, they're pretty dangerous.
Okay. Greg, thanks for coming in. As always, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.